Yeah, that's a big issue with like, or bird noises. Like, how can people copyright that stuff? You know, the fact that they own that right to YouTube's copyright system, but then people just walking down the street hearing the same bird chirping, but obviously not in a recording. Come on, there's nothing. What are you going to be able to do? You're not going to be able to stream anything except for your own personal voice.
Someone's going to start copyrighting streamers' voices so that they can't even talk in their streams anymore until you have the license there.
Yeah, maybe. Welcome back to the Gaming Careers Podcast, the last episode in March. That is just flown by. I don't know if you feel the same way, Ben, but we've got plenty to discuss today. Some new news from Twitch, as well as Ludwig's stream is just about still going on. I think we're over 2 weeks. We've certainly covered it the last 2 weeks, so we'll get an exact day count for you. Some interesting stats from Sully Gnome as to the games that are growing and being most viewed on Twitch, as well as plenty of other questions that we're going to cover from the Twitch subreddit, as well as our own viewer questions. But firstly, let's meet our co-host, Ben. Ben, how's your last week been?
It's good, man. It's been super busy and active, and some cool new stuff on streams that I've done for the first time, like doing things with TSM. That was pretty cool. And I think you had a pretty big week last week too with the new video coming out, right?
Yeah, I had a new video drop and just generally doing some other gaming careers admins. I've like built this bot in my Discord that helps with the moderation of day-to-day tasks, because I wanted it to be like on brand, and I also wanted to keep some, you know, ability of coding, because before doing this I was a software developer, fairly new in that industry, but I wanted to keep that ticking over. So I was doing some bot work this week to make sure that my mods could ban people that had already left the server so they couldn't just rejoin again, rather than just banning people that were already in the server. So that was a fun little day challenge. But yeah, my week's been good. Tell me a bit about your week of interviewing TSM members. What was that like?
Yeah, so we actually had, from the Valorant team on TSM, we had one of their members come on to the Lenovo stream and do some gameplay with myself, even though I'm not a huge Valorant player, do some public games with the community and kind of interview. We let the chat ask questions about what pro life is like and scrimming. And so it was the first time I'd done something with a pro, essentially, for a co-stream. It was a pretty cool experience, and TSM was in the chat, stuff like that. So pretty cool to just have that, and hopefully we can do more in the future. And definitely a different type of stream when you've got, you know, more of that official brand integration, and you have to think through scheduling of pro players coming on and time slots. So it was cool, and I hope we get to do more stuff like that in the future. So
nice.
If you guys are ever trying to do something like that, just let me know and I can help you out.
That sounds good. Where do you want to start this week? I think maybe we should just start with the Ludwig news, because some people are probably bored of hearing it, but it is now getting to the point where I think this will be the last week that we talk about it, because as of today, when we record this podcast on a Tuesday, I think he's done 16 days concurrently, and he has just 3 or 4 hours left on the timer. So he's currently asleep. I imagine it will keep bumping up until he's awake, but I reckon maybe in the next 24 hours, this 16-day stream might be over. But you never know. You know, the viewers might enjoy the fact that it's in the low hours now and keep subscribing to keep topping up that timer. But we're very nearly at the end. I'm sure he is exhausted and well deserves a break from the stream. But at the same time, he's been incredibly successful with it and made a lot of money. So yeah, have you caught any of this in the last week, and any changes that you've seen?
Yeah, it's funny. We keep talking about this and joking how long it'll go. And it's tough to know, because the timer will say one number, but it can stay that number for much longer than you would think it would stay that longer. So I think this will probably be the last week we talk about, like you said. I don't see it going to next week, just because it's down in the single digits now. But I do think we'll probably see a big second wind right at the end as it gets to like the hour or 2 hour mark. I think even like gift subs coming in and people maybe coming in to try to extend the stream. So I think he even made promises about like it won't go longer than a month. And if it gets to a month, then something will happen. So I could see other streamers coming in and trying to like push him to a month, maybe, unless he's just so ready to get out of it that they don't do that. But it's still just so fascinating to follow the real life Truman Show, as people say. I think he got like a New York Times article. He did eventually get off the stream at some point for like a 30 hour break or something. He let his friends take over essentially and get a little time away, but still 30 hours compared to the 2 weeks of stream is not that much. So I think we can still count it. And yeah, I just love watching this, and we'll see kind of where it ends up, and maybe you're still talking about it next week, but I probably doubt it. This is probably the last one, I would think.
I mean, if we're still talking about it next week, then that is seriously impressive, because that's a week of being less than, you know, less than 4 hours now when we're watching it as he's asleep. So a lot of people will have to step in, a lot of new subscribers that haven't subscribed before. And I think he's also put a cap on gifted subscriptions. So, you know, it can't just be one whale mm-hmm. donation of, you know, 5,000 gifted subs, which just tops it up by multiple days. So yeah, it's interesting. It's been a really cool experiment. I don't think anyone will be able to have the same success with this idea. They'd have to put a new spin on it. And I think they'd have to leave a certain amount of time before trying it. But yeah, really cool idea, executed well. Some people will think it's dumb and he's made a load of money for sleeping on stream. But at the same time, no one had really taken this kind of angle and approach with his user base that he already had. And he's one of those streamers where his viewers like to watch him suffer. You know, he plays a lot of those impossible to complete games, and his stream loves watching him mold over the fact that he gets like 20 hours in and then falls all the way back down to the beginning. So you know, he had the right audience for it to happen. But yeah, probably given him enough time. Let's talk about what we saw from the data this week. So our favorite data website, Surly Gnome, has shown, I think probably the most interesting thing would be GTA 5, Grand Theft Auto 5, particularly due to the roleplay category that like the NoPixel server has enabled and things like that, has been pretty consistent this week. It's been the second most watched category after Just Chatting, which is always the first. But even with some relatively big weeks in terms of League of Legends and CSGO tournaments going on, so usually we see those peak out any like normal games, but this roleplay category has really opened up a lot of viewership, particularly with streamers like Summit1G really, you know, holding a lot of the viewership in this category and playing a lot of this roleplay version of Grand Theft Auto. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think the NoPixel stuff for GTA, always, whenever it comes back with a big update, it just kind of takes over Twitch for a little while because it's so custom made for Twitch. Kind of the same way that Among Us really, for some reason, it really just works well on Twitch as a format for collaboration and letting streamers do things they wouldn't otherwise do in terms of working with new streamers and then also just kind of being a different character. And it's always surprising to see people who you wouldn't think would be good role players can be a pretty good fit into this pretty well with NoPixel and get into that. And I think it's also the fact that not everyone has access to this server. People want to watch what's going on through streams. So it makes sense that the streams really do blow up when this happens. So I think it'll probably stay pretty popular for a while as long as the updates are still pretty fresh and people are still playing it. And I think if they keep updating the NoPixel server with new patches every so often, then it'll probably stay the same way. I know we kind of talk about GTA 5 has been around forever at this point, but when you have stuff like this happening with the community created mods and just custom ways to play the game, I don't really see a reason it will ever go away. It's kind of like, again, even like the Rust stuff earlier this year that had like some RP elements to it, but it was kind of a one-time thing, whereas NoPixel tends to come back every so often because there's a whole community and kind of team behind the update. So I think it'll stay popular for a while, and it's really fascinating to watch. Have you caught some of it yourself?
Yeah, and it's worth pointing out that there seems to be different sub-niches within this GTA 5 roleplay niche. Like Summit1G is, I think, doing a lot of racing, and he has like a car, and multiple other streamers or content creators are entering their cars into the races. So it's almost like a racing game rather than the role play element of it. So yeah, I think it's fascinating, to be honest with you. My question to you would be, how reliant is it on big streamers? Because we've seen XQC and, like we said, Summit both, you know, making big amounts of streams. Like, I can't even remember the last time that I saw Summit1G stream something other than GTA. So how reliant is it on these big streamers that would be holding huge viewership in whatever game they're playing? Do you think it's just people wanting to watch these big streamers stream it, or do you think it's got a big user base of people playing it behind the scenes as well?
I think it's a mixture of both. I think the big streamers definitely carry a lot of visibility to it when it happens. Yeah, I mean, look at XQC, for example. Some of the viewership he's getting on this stuff is definitely kind of carrying the category. You can't deny that. But there are also some streamers who really just specialize in this type of thing, especially who are really good role players, or even just in GTA 5 stuff. Like, who was I can't think of his name, the cop streamer who got really popular a couple years ago from just doing GTA 5 streams. I'm really blanking on his name. I feel bad, but there are some streamers who have just blown up because they're so good at RPing and just create very unique experience that you couldn't really get in other categories. And I think they, you know, even we will see GTA 5, NoPixel, it'll taper off at some point this year, but I think those streamers will still stay pretty popular in the category. What I've seen with data is even though GTA falls off compared to like its all-time peak, it'll still be pretty popular in the top couple games for this reason. And I do see even some streamers, you know, the big streamers will probably move around to other games at some point, right? But they come back to NoPixel every so often if there is an update or even if they're just kind of bored. So it, and again, because GTA 5 has been around for so long, I don't see that changing unless maybe there's a GTA 6 someday. So it's always a game you can come back to, and the RP just kind of offers a new experience for it too. So I think the streamers help, but to answer your question, there's still a community there behind them too.
Yeah, I wonder actually if it's going to be one of those things that people like watching because of how clippable the moments are from it. So it almost gets another boost in popularity because of like the live stream fails or the YouTube channels that, you know, create clips on all those kind of moments. It can create really hilarious moments or really controversial moments because it is people role playing a character. And, you know, it's kind of similar to like when you go to TwitchCon and there are TwitchCon streams, like people IRL streaming at TwitchCon. There's a lot of viewer base that wants to see streamers interact, whether that's through a role play or through real life. So yeah, I think it's really interesting. I don't know if we can see, I think your point about it spiking with a new update makes a lot of sense. So maybe we'll see that similar spike in viewership whenever there's an update, as long as big streamers are still playing it. Because I think it's you know, it's got a good chance to stay as one of the top streamed games on Twitch. Speaking of Twitch, shall we move on to, well, there was a new Twitch department announced and a hire in that department as well. Twitch Community Productions. I think they're looking for a Twitch Community Productions producer, which is a mouthful. But did you catch this? This was really all I could find this week about Twitch news that sort of got retweeted on the streamer Twitter. So did you catch this?
Yeah, so this is still kind of vague, I feel like, right now. But basically, DJ Wheat just announced that they're looking for... They're filling a new team at Twitch called Twitch Community Productions. And this first position he linked is Twitch Community Productions producer, like you said, which is a big mouthful. Not really sure what that means. I assume it means this team is going to help streamers create their own content of some kind. Maybe they're doing some sort of program where they let creators build shows or something and kind of partner with partners to make more productions. So we'll kind of have to see. I didn't look too much into the actual job listing. I'll take a look at that really quick. But it's cool to see if they want to support more creator original content, kind of like the YouTube original is what I get a feel for. I don't know. Did you have thoughts on seeing this too?
Yeah, I think that was my exact understanding, that it's probably going to be some, it's either going to be like some kind of education in Twitch productions, so like helping streamers get set up with various different bits. But I think more likely it's going to be like the example you just gave from YouTube, where they're going to help with more ambitious productions, either for Twitch's side or for big streamers on Twitch. So yeah, interesting to see what comes of that. But yeah, it was really, really light on the Twitch news this week. I couldn't see anything. So let's move on to the Twitch subreddit, which always brings up good discussions. This week we saw, I think probably the thread that I wanted to talk about the most was a question from somebody on the internet asking, well, not even asking, suggesting that you don't use follower only mode in your stream chat as you are a small streamer. It just turns people off. So I think the common misconception here is that small streamers see this option for follower only chat. Oh, I can turn follower only chat on my stream and then people will have to follow me if they want to say hi. And this thread was kind of just discussing that point and suggesting that it's, if anything, it's going to discourage users from saying anything because it's an extra step for them to be able to communicate. And the value of somebody being a follower versus somebody actually introducing themselves to your community, it doesn't pay. So what's your thoughts? I feel like this is going to be one that we're going to agree on. So whilst you're saying your thoughts, I'm going to think of the counter argument in my head.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can give you some counter arguments for sure. I think for the vast majority of people, you probably do not want to have follower only mode on, right? Because like you said, the perception might be that you have to force people to follow you, but the reality is that people are not going to follow you and they're not going to interact. Even if they still lurk and watch, they're probably, you'll get less chatters than if you just had it on naturally. Now, there are some reasons to have it on though, or to turn it on temporarily. If, for example, you've probably seen, if you stream lately, those bots that come in everybody's stream that say, hey, you want to become famous? Go here and whatever, like get free views. So follower only can probably block some of those types of bots that just go spam places, because they're not going to follow you first and then post it, as far as I know, unless the coding got more complicated. Same kind of thing if you want to prevent trolls or something who come, if you get some sort of hate raid or something. Yeah, you can do follower only mode or sub only mode temporarily to kind of block that kind of thing. I have seen some streamers do follower only mode, especially for bigger streamers who maybe want to have a smaller chat community. But I think for most people, I would agree that you want to keep this off for the most part, just so that it's really easy to get into the chat and engage, because most people want to chat first and then follow, and not the other way around for the most part. Sometimes people will even just follow to chat and then unfollow after they're done chatting. So you want to avoid that too if you can. But I don't know. Have you thought of your own kind of arguments here?
Well, no, because you gave such good ones. I would say that I personally, and maybe I'm in the minority here, but how I treat, let's say, YouTube is if I find a new channel, I won't subscribe if I've just watched one video. If I really like one video, then I'll dive into the channel, I'll check out a couple more. And then if I'm like sold after three videos, I'm like, yeah, I want to be notified of their new uploads. And I always, every day without fail, will visit my subscriptions feed and see, you know, I'll go through all the thumbnails since the last day when I looked and open them all up and then watch them at some point through the day. I feel like that's rare now on YouTube. Most people just rely on the algorithm and what's suggested in those like eight boxes at the top of the homepage or suggested as up next. But it's kind of the same for me on Twitch. Like, I'm not going to follow a stream that I've watched for a couple of minutes before I've interacted with the streamer. So I do think it's a blocker and an unnecessary one. But it's kind of exactly the same as sub-only mode. Like, when you get further down your streaming career and you have subscriptions enabled, what's the argument for ever enabling sub-only mode? On, you know, it's another restriction to stop people from interacting with the community unless they, you know, they pay up to support you. So I kind of feel the same way. These modes can really just be used to temporarily deal with situations when you're getting flooded with spam or no, there's definitely some legitimate use cases. Like, I know we talked about Ludwig a lot already, but he's been playing GeoGuessr and he like plays versus his subs or something like that. So he'll guess where the random location is and then he'll put sub-only mode and his subs can then vote in like a poll as to where they think they are and things like that. So I think it has its use cases, but in general, you want to not be using these restrictions because the ultimate goal is to build a community, whether people are following you or subscribing to you or not. So deal with trolls with bans and timeouts and just try and leave it as open as possible is what my suggestion would be. But you do a lot more streaming than I do at the moment, Ben, so maybe you have a different take.
No, I think I agree. For the most part, you want to keep your chat open if you can. I think the times where you want to use follower or sub mode only are the exceptions to the rule, not the rule. Like, for example, I've actually watched a lot of Ninja lately because he's streaming League of Legends now, and he only does sub only mode because he gets so much hate in his chat all the time that he wants to make it hard for people to come in. And if they do want to add hate, then they have to sub first to do that. But again, Ninja is the very, very exception to the rule, not the general rule for most people. Same thing with Ludwig. I think he, like, it's a subathon, right? So he has sub mode on, I think, almost all the time. But for most people, that's probably not the case. So it's just a matter of if there's a really good reason to use it, then it's there for a reason and you can use that. But I think for most people, if you want to grow an audience, if you're in that new, whatever, 0 to 20 to 50, even up to like a couple hundred range viewership, I think you probably want to keep that turned off and just make it really easy for people to come in and engage. And then if they want to follow, they can. They don't have to feel obligated to do that to start chatting, that kind of thing. So good discussion, though. I know it's a common question from people, and it often confuses a lot of new streamers or viewers if they see that as something in the chat they have to do.
So how's this for a transition, Ben? You're talking about making it easy for new viewers to arrive at your channel. My video this week was aiming at making it easier for anybody to watch your content, whether they are hard of hearing or from a different country, or maybe English isn't their first language. I did a video this week or last week, now that you're listening to this, talking about how you can enable Twitch's official closed captions on your live stream. And it's hard to get this point across because Twitch, I don't know when they started supporting this, but it's certainly been in the last 6 months. Twitch officially supports closed captions, which means that if you stream and provide closed captions in a separate stream, you know, not hard-coded into your video, Twitch has a button that appears on your player that people can click, just like YouTube, a little CC button, and then the captions can appear and they can customize where it's positioned and what the colors are and how big the text is and what the font is and all those kind of things. But it's not on by default. You don't need a Twitch extension like many people have suggested in the past. Like, this is officially supported by Twitch and I don't see any reason why streamers shouldn't enable it. Because like I said in the video, like, 23%, I think was the number that I reached, 23% of viewers on my YouTube channel enable closed captions. And I pay for closed captions on all my videos. So they're properly transcribed. It's not just the Google attempt at what I'm saying. So that's a huge amount, 23%. You know, one in four people arriving at my YouTube channel and turning on or leaving on closed captions. And I wouldn't have thought it was anywhere near that high. But if the audience on Twitch is similar to the audience on YouTube, then what are you losing by enabling this option and providing closed captions for your stream? You're just making it more accessible for people that, you know, like I said at the beginning, have hard of hearing or don't speak English as their first language, or are simply in a place where they can't listen to the audio. Maybe they're on a super loud tube like we have in London, and you just want to be able to still see what the stream is saying, and not that you can get good internet access whilst you're on the tube. So that was a bad example, but you get my point. So yeah, this was an interesting video, and I thought, trying to make streams as accessible as possible, why not teach people how to do this? And it's really at no cost. It's 5 minutes to set up, and it's very little performance impact. So yeah, did you catch the video? Any thoughts, comments? What did I miss? What should I have done better?
Yeah, it was super cool. I think that number you gave of the total people who watch the captions on YouTube is pretty overwhelming. I wouldn't think it'd be quite that high. And it has to be pretty close for Twitch too, I would think, for anyone who has the option, you know, because it's not a default thing on Twitch yet, because this, I didn't even know this was an option, to be honest, until you mentioned it in the video. And I've seen other extensions do this, but I didn't know it was actually built into Twitch. Plus, I think it looks like Twitch's version is way more customizable and you have a lot more control over it than extensions, because I've seen extensions do this before, but a lot of times you can't move the box and it'll like cover up the streamer, and it's like awfully yellow color. And so it's nice that they give you so many options to control it on Twitch and just toggle it off and on really easily. I honestly don't see a reason, like you said, not to turn this on if you have the option, because it's pretty easy and it's just going to help your stream essentially for people who, like you said, can't listen for some reason. Maybe they can kind of watch but they can't hear. I have a lot of people who like work but have it muted and are just kind of lurking because they can't be listening. So I think for that reason, captioning makes a lot of sense. And if you can do it, why not, right? Like you said in the video, I think it's so basic that it's only going to help your content. So I'm definitely going to try it out if I have the chance here. I know with dual PC setups, you said it's a little more complicated, but I think it's still worth it, honestly.
Yeah, and it's not going to be 23% of people on Twitch, because the reason that number is so high on YouTube, even for my audience, is because YouTube does automatically caption videos. So even if you don't provide proper captions like I do for my YouTube videos, there will still be YouTube's attempt at what you're saying, which is pretty accurate. It's like 95%+ accurate. So people can enable closed captions on any video on YouTube, which you can't do right now on Twitch. It's only the people that are officially enabling like a plugin through ABS Studio, like I talk about in my video. So yeah, I hope it's a video that does well and serves purpose, because at the end of the day, like, we should be trying to make Twitch as accessible as possible. But it's going to be a slow burner video. You know, it's not one that people instantly see and be like, oh, I've been wanting to know how to do this for ages. And like I said to you before we jumped on the call, it's difficult to get across to people in a thumbnail and a title that this is completely customizable by the viewer. They don't by any means have to enable it. It's just an option that they do have the option to enable if they want to. But, you know, it's hard to get that into a couple of words on a thumbnail or in a title. So hopefully it does well in search over time, and it makes Twitch more accessible. I actually, my tweet about the video did really well. Like, it got a lot of impressions. I think a lot of people, you know, spoke out in the replies to that saying, I'm a person that watches your videos with closed captions and would love to see more Twitch streams supporting them.
I think to your point, I know it's not going to be the same ratio on Twitch, people who watch with closed captions, because like you said, it's just on YouTube, it's got every video essentially has that option. But I think it's also because Twitch just hasn't, since it hasn't had the option, there might still be the demand for that type of closed captioning that just isn't available yet. So even though people might not listen with closed captions, it doesn't mean they wouldn't want to essentially if they have the option. So I think it's still worth doing. And like you said, like, you can just turn it off if you don't want it. It's very unintrusive, and if you don't want it there, then it's gone, versus like an extension, or sometimes if it's directly in the streaming software, there's no way to turn it off, and I don't think that's a great experience for people who don't want to have captions. So it just seems like a no-brainer to me.
There are so many other advantages as well. Like, it still works in your VODs after you finish streaming. It works on iOS and Android as well as the Twitch website. And like, when you're using one of these extensions, you often have to have a website open, and Chrome is just a resource hog. So like, it was just the perfect solution. It's way better for the viewer and it's way better for the streamer, and like it's naturally supported by Twitch. So I wanted to get out there. Yeah, like I said, hopefully the video does well, but the real purpose was just to get the word out about that. What do you want to cover next? You caught something from Ryan Heger this week. You want to talk about that? Yeah. It was a pretty hilarious clip.
In a bit of funny news this week, you guys may have seen that Ryan Heger, who's the famous YouTuber Nigga Higa, he got banned on Twitch mistakenly. So this is kind of funny because it was a very short ban and he got banned for hateful conduct, but there was no real reason for his ban, it turned out. He got very quickly unbanned because Valkyrie and a couple others tweeted out at Twitch and told Twitch to unban him very quickly, which they did. He took it pretty funny because, you know, his stream got cut off midstream during the ban. Then it came on the next day and did a big apology stream. Guys, I'm very sorry. I didn't mean to. I'll never do it again. Just reading off the laundry list of things you have to say after a ban. It was very facetious and very funny. There was a little bit of criticism that I saw that was an interesting point. That was, since this happened sort of mistakenly on Twitch's side, he basically got unbanned because there was so much attention from other friends who were calling out Twitch, and because he is a pretty popular figure himself. So there was the criticism that, like, for a smaller streamer, if this had happened, it's probably a lot harder to get unbanned that quickly because you don't have as much visibility and you don't have people you can reach out to try and help get visibility for you. So I think it's a good point. And this could be happening to other people who are mistakenly banned for some reason that we just don't see because they're not at Ryan Higa's size. So I don't know. Do you have thoughts on that, Pete?
Yeah, I mean, that is a problem and there's no real easy solution. Not this January, but the January previous, I had a copyright, not even a copyright, a warning on my YouTube channel because of like an old video that I'd done, which was a giveaway. And as soon as the giveaway had finished, I made the video unlisted, and that was my mistake. I made it unlisted rather than private. And then YouTube changed the terms of service to so that you couldn't have like giveaways in the description of a video, and a video topic couldn't solely be about a giveaway. But even though this video wasn't public, so people couldn't find it in any way, technically because it was unlisted rather than private or deleted, it still did exist through a link on the internet. So yeah, I got this like temporary 7-day you can't upload to YouTube. And I made a fuss about it on Twitter, and thankfully that was big enough that like Fwizz stepped in and got it sorted probably within 18 hours or something like that. And, you know, I'm incredibly grateful for the fact that I can share experiences like that and that I have enough followers on Twitter that make a bit of a buzz about it and eventually it gets sorted. But if you're a small YouTuber, there's absolutely no way you can get in contact with anybody at YouTube. There is no support. You don't have an email. You don't have a partner manager. Like, it's the exact same on Twitch. So unfortunately, this is probably the case that many people have been banned for similar no reasons like Ryan was and can't get unbanned so quickly because not enough of a fuss. But I don't really see how there can be a solution, because unless Twitch or YouTube employs thousands of people to deal with, you know, generic support messages, they're not going to be able to deal with it. So yeah, it's a difficult one. But the real point of this story is, if you haven't, go to the show notes of this episode, click and watch the highlight of Ryan with his apology, because he does it completely sarcastically with like sad music in the background. Yeah, I shouldn't have done it, because he doesn't even know what he's been banned for, but he's still saying, I shouldn't have done it. It was a mistake. It was meant to be a joke. And at the very end, I won't ruin it, but he like cuts and you can see his checklist of things that he wanted to say. And it's perfect comedic timing, exactly why he's been incredibly successful on YouTube. So yeah, it was a really funny moment. Thanks for sharing that with us.
That was awesome. What else? I think, are we on to the viewer question now? Is that what we're moving on to here?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay, so this actually came from Identity C on Twitter. This was related to the DMCA stuff we talked about pretty recently, which we're always talking about, but a good question. So his question was, what happens if I load into a lobby, or I'm playing Warzone, for example, and a player or someone in a vehicle has music playing that I can't control? Basically, is that a DMCA concern? Which is a good question. I think there's the people who have a lot of these questions related to DMCA. The short answer, sadly, is yes. If you're streaming, this is still, if it's on your stream, then you are accountable essentially for it. It's kind of the same thing as people who do IRL streams and are walking through, you know, downtown and someone plays a siren, or like you pass by some store and there's music playing there. even though you're not the one playing that music, it's still on your stream and you don't have a license for it to be streamed. So essentially, you can be DMCA'd for that. It's kind of weird to think about, but it does happen sometimes. Pete, you have thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, that is it. Unfortunately, it is a concern. And right now, it sounds so silly, doesn't it? That you're the biggest joy about being a live streamer is that the content is live. But then we're going into this mode where people are going to want to start to stream with like 30-second delays so that if something like this happens, they can, I don't know, hit a button that erases the last 30 seconds of music before it gets sent out or something. You know, there's going to have to be solutions designed because you're going to be at complete mercy with, you know, the shops you're walking past or the people that you're interacting with, or like even online. Yeah, the people that are in your lobby that could definitely just use voice chat to play music, which could get you a strike. So it's a really bad situation to be in. And, you know, it's the exact same problem that YouTube's gone through. But thankfully, with YouTube being traditionally VOD format, they can retroactively deal with it. Whereas since Twitch is live, you kind of have to be quick on your feet. You know, it's not just having a mute button for your microphone if you need to sneeze or cough. You're probably going to need a mute button for your game sound as well in case somebody starts playing music. We covered on the podcast maybe a couple of months ago about a clip of a police officer weaponizing music around a streamer. So they went and turned on their car radio and the streamer is like running away as if they're pointing guns at him, but really all they're doing is playing music that he's worried about getting a DMCA strike for. So it's a sad state, the world that we live in. It's a good question because there's so much misinformation about DMCA, and unfortunately, really, if you think it could be a problem, it's pretty likely that it will be a problem in a year's time or so. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what else we can say on that, Ben.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much, I was going to say the exact same thing on the police officer weaponizing DMCA. That was a IRL example. I guess it could still happen essentially in a game setting too, but not even just for music. I mean, it's the same thing for like if people are in your voice chat saying words they shouldn't be saying, then that's still on your stream, right? And so that's where as a streamer you have to be pretty conscious of that, of how you use voice chat. And anytime someone can transmit audio onto your stream, even like song requests, things like that, that can also be a concern for donations. I'm still surprised because even on like Ludwig's stream, he's got the donation thing happening and people are on there like submitting songs from the Beatles. And I'm like, how are you letting this happen on your stream, man? It's crazy. And I guess people still get away with it, but it's always a concern for that.
One thing we could say to Identity, the asker of the question, is if this is going to be a problem for you, it will be a problem for the big streamers first. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if people are going to start targeting big streamers in lobbies of games with copyrighted music because they think it's funny to troll them. And then the streamers will be able to make a big enough deal about it that either Twitch or the game developers will build systems in that you can, you know, like streamer mode where you can maybe quickly mute all your teammates from a key press or something like that. I'm just coming up with ideas. I think Twitch will be reasonable in their approach around bans from things like this. Like if you can prove, look, this is completely out of my control, I muted it as quickly as I could, 2 seconds of audio played, you'd like to think that Twitch would be like, you know, this isn't this guy's fault, like he's been held hostage in this lobby. But absolutely no idea. You know, technically the law states that if any music is coming through the content that you provide through your stream, then you are responsible for it. So, you know, from a legal standpoint, there's really nothing you can do except for being really careful who your mates are and just queuing as a five.
Exactly. Yeah, it's unfortunate, but that's just how it is right now. Hopefully we'll see some law changes or just support for this thing in the future. I think the crazy thing to me is the fact that sirens are getting DMCA'd constantly if you're just walking through places. So I think that stuff has to get changed, right?
Yeah, that's a big issue with like, or bird noises. Like how can people copyright that stuff? You know, I understand that people have probably recorded those sound effects and sold them and then uploaded the fact that they own that right to YouTube's copyright system. But then people just walking down the street hearing the same bird chirping, but obviously not in a recording. Like that stuff, the whole sound effects thing, I think is crazy difficult. You know, tires screeching, I've seen crowd noise. Like, come on, there's nothing. What are you going to be able to do? You're not going to be able to stream anything except for your own personal voice, because that is something that you control. Anything else could be copyrighted in the world.
Someone's going to start copyrighting streamers' voices so that they can't even talk on their streams anymore until you have the license there.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway, that was a great question, identity. So thank you for that. I think it's a great discussion for people who are new and have this happen in the future. So just so you guys know, it is technically a DMCA concern. I think that's pretty much everything we have for this week, right, Pete?
Yeah, I think that's it. So thanks again for the viewer question. Always gets us discussing more than we think it will. And we'll catch you guys next week. For those following with the updates of the live stream podcast, when are we going to launch that? We are getting closer. We're at the point now where I'm working on some designs for different scenes, because we obviously need scenes with both me and Ben, but also one of the advantages of live streaming this podcast is that we can pull up these bits that we're talking about in a bit of a screen share and discuss things with people that are watching live and, you know, take comments and things like that. So this is a bit of work still to happen. Not sure if it'll be next week or the week after, but we are still working on it. Thanks again for the question from Identity C, and yeah, we'll catch you in the next episode. Peace.
See you guys.